Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 455. This is the Say What edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. I can't hear anything right now. It feels like I am talking to myself in a padded room, and while normally that might actually be a little bit closer to reality for some of us, not so much for me today. So it's been kind of an interesting past, I'd say, 2 days here. I think I got sick somewhere around Sunday, and it's just been a mess ever since. I'm doing my best to kind of modulate the voice and make sure that I'm not blowing you out or anything. I'm, you know, looking at the screen and making sure everything's all working there. But gotta tell you, I'm just kind of hoping that everything ends up sounding all right. I know I might sound a little bit stuffed up, and I do apologize for that. But other than that, hopefully this will work out better than it has to. I don't even know if there's a right way to say that. So we have a relatively awesome show lined up for you today. This is, of course, the Caffeination Podcast, the high-octane world of caffeine culture and technology news. We are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Everybody over there, including us, agree to create child-safe, family-friendly, edumacational podcasting, and you can go on over there to hear a whole bunch of other people who can probably hear themselves at this point. We're currently wading through the mass of content and other stuff. It's really weird dropping down from doing a show twice a week to doing a show once a week. On the one hand, you know, it's nice to have Sundays kind of free to crash and pass out. But on the other hand, it's really kind of rough because there's just so much fun stuff to talk about. So that's what we're trying to figure out what to do. If I can get the sleep and the time and the inclination, I will start the second show back up right quick. But, you know, can't really make any promises at this point. First thing I'd like to do is mention the fact that remind you that PodCamp Philly is starting October 2nd and 3rd at Temple University. Head on over to PodCampPhilly.com to check that out. It's a digital unconference, which basically means there's a very nominal fee that just makes sure that you show up. It's $21 overall for 2 days of a really kind of cool conference. You can walk in and out in any of the sessions. I've heard a lot of people, you know, talk bad about some of the PodCamps, and they say, hey, you know, there's no real good about going to these things anymore. You should be going to the large trade shows. I, however, think that there's something different that really needs to kind of be emphasized. I'm much more for local media. I'm much more for people trying to develop a community in the area in which they live. It's great to reach out to other people. I've met people from all over the country through this podcast, and I think that's fantastic. But I think you cannot underestimate the value of having a support system in your home area. It's really kind of cool to be able to meet other people that are, you know, experiencing the same things that you are. When you're talking about the Philly blogger crisis and all the issues that were happening with that, and they're charging business licenses, does it matter that I have friends in Seattle and friends in California and friends in Ohio? And no, they don't understand. They're just looking at it and saying, oh my God, Philly's really, you know, putting the screws to some bloggers out there. However, having friends in the area and having met them at the various pod camps, we can talk about it. I have lawyer friends that are in the area, and they're always good to have no matter where they are. I mean, that's the kind of real connections that you can actually make at these events. And not only that, it's incredibly educational. So I highly suggest that if there is a pod camp in your area, you owe it to yourself at least once to just check it out. The people there are incredibly friendly. You're not going to, you might meet some of the big wigs that are out there, but you're probably not going to end up, you know, getting pushed under by the swath of mainstream media and anything else that's out there. Some people want to be their own TV station. Some people want to be the, you know, the next CNET News and all that. I just want to give you great content. I just want to kind of push my agenda out there. My agenda is finding awesome, crazy, cool, obscure stuff out there, and hopefully that gets through to you. But however, I would like to mention the fact that the Caffeination is sponsored in part by GoToMeeting. So if you can't make that personal connection, if you can't actually go out there and press the flesh and deal with everybody that you have to deal with on a one-to-one basis, this allows you to condense those differences. So anytime you can avoid getting in your car or walking across campus, or even anytime you don't have to worry about cross-country flights, it's a win. That's why I started using GoToMeetings to hold some of my meetings online. Instead of wasting time and money sitting in traffic or getting drenched, I do everything with GoToMeeting. It's now brought to you by my friends at Citrix. It's the easiest and most secure way to hold an online meeting. I have my first meeting up and running in simple seconds. Everyone logs onto your website or the website GoToMeeting.com, and they can see your computer desktop on their screen. You don't have to worry about sandboxing. You don't have to worry about, you know, will this work on a different computer if you're working with applications or anything else. It's all on your computer. It's just go going out over the web, like somebody's taking a picture of your screen. It's fantastic. It's perfect for sales presentations, training demonstrations, or product demos. And it's incredibly affordable. At just $49 a month, it allows you to hold as many online meetings as you'd like. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. That's a month of unlimited online meetings, absolutely free. For this special offer, please visit www.gotomeeting.com/tech podcast. That's www.gotomeeting.com/tech podcast. All right, we have a slight change. This is something that you will not normally hear on the Caffeination Podcast. Why is that? Well, because this is something that usually would not affect anybody that's out in the tech world. Except, it does affect me, so I have to tell you about it, and I'm pretty sure it might affect some other people out there as well. The well-known brand of children's formula, the people who make Similac, that is Abbott Brands, have just issued a recall. Now, if you have a queasy stomach, you might want to, turn your earmuffs off for a couple seconds, but the recall is because due to a possible infestation of beetle larvae in the powdered formula. As somebody who has been feeding his two-month-old daughter powdered Similac since pretty much the day she came home, I'm more than a little bit nauseated. I am incredibly happy that they basically came out. This issued at 2 o'clock today. They're giving refunds to people for this stuff. We're switching over to a different kind of formula right now until they can get it all sorted out. I know that this is probably 1/100,000th of a percent of the actual cans of Similac that went out that possibly had this. But yeah, they're actually listing the symptoms and stuff, and it's none too fun. So right up at the top of the episode today, there's actually a link to the Similac recall, which is very simple. It's at Similac.com/recall. That's Similac.com/RECALL. Now, if you can't get through right away, you can go in there and you can actually check the lot numbers of the stuff that you actually have. If you can't get through right away because basically the site has been bombed, my wife told me about it at 4 o'clock. They released the press release at 2 o'clock. By 4:20, the website was already crawling at its knees. By 4:30, before I could even leave work at 4:45, the website was down. It has not been back up. So it's bad juju. If you've recently bought Similac, or you know anybody who has a young infant and they're considering doing it, we've switched over to a different formula at this point. But that's kind of nasty and all rolled up into one little disgusting ball. So there we go, and here we are. We're moving on to the fun stuff now. Geek Cruft. That's right. Cruft is those strange off-the-wall bits of computer detritus that lie around. Now, I've had people tell me they've never heard the word cruft unless you've been talking to people who listen to my show. Well, cruft is kind of an MIT word, and I kind of picked it all up along the way as I was reading through the internet. and it's a term developed at MIT for computer junk that lays around. And everybody who's a technologist, or even if you just like gadgets and stuff, you always have drawers full of old cell phones, unless you donate them, which is the proper thing to do, or of garages full of old computers unless you recycle them, which is the proper thing to do. So that's what Geek Cruft is. Now, the game review that we got up here first is our first game review in quite a little while. However, this is a fantastic game, and unlike this show, which is completely safe for work, the game is not. Now, the game is called Mafia 2. This is an unbelievably gritty, dirty, awesome game. If you've ever watched any of the old crime dramas, Godfather, Goodfellas, and you'd like to actually live through some of the scenarios, the game is fantastic for that. It has really good graphics, except when you hit that little area, the uncanny valley, where things are so real that they look completely unreal because of the things that are missing, like the minor facial twitches and stuff like that. The models are that good, and I'm even on an Xbox 360. I'm not talking about like a PS3 or anything, but the models are that good. The physics are unbelievable. Some of the old-time cars and the detail that they actually go into. Now, I'm trying not to give away too many of the story points, but basically you play an Italian immigrant who comes to the United States when he's incredibly young. He then leaves to fight in World War II, and he comes back to the country, and he does all well and good. His buddy Joe is a wise guy at that point. Now, Vito, the title character, or the main character, character actually gets into trouble a lot of different times in the game, and Joe's always there to kind of bail him out a little bit. He's the guy who always knows a guy, you know what I mean? This is stereotypical to the absolute hilt. If you want to reach back into the 1940s and the 1950s and pick any stereotypical thing from African Americans to Italian Americans to Irish Americans to anybody else that you've encountered in the game, they all play their part perfectly. The voice acting in this game is ungodly. It is fantastic. So if you don't mind a game that literally drops the F-bomb like they're trying to drive the Japanese out of Guadalcanal, then this is not a bad thing. It actually is like a choose-your-own-adventure novel. You're sitting there wandering around the game set. It's an incredibly wide-open game set, similar to a Grand Theft Auto, but it doesn't allow you all the different side quests. I think my only real criticism of the environment would probably be if they allowed certain things, like maybe if you accidentally hit somebody, you know, accidentally, let's just say you boost the car and hit a guy with it, and if he dropped money or a gun or something like that, that might be a little bit more helpful. But as it is, you know, the cops chase you if you go too fast, or if you get into a fender bender or anything like that. You can change the radio. There's all these things that if they had turned it slightly more into a sandbox game, I think they would have had a little bit more full feeling world. But the world is beautiful. From my favorite are the World War II era accurate propaganda posters that you see laying around the different offices in the beginning of the game. And then they also have strewn about the entire game our old issues of Playboy, so that you can actually see, you know, like issues from like the early 50s and I think the late 40s as well. It's kind of funny and kind of cool to have them included in there. They're officially licensed Playboy things, so there you go, here they are. The funny thing about it is that everything is tracked in this game. How much time you spent driving, how fast you were going, how much time you spent picking locks, how much time you spent enjoying those wonderful magazines that you picked up. Everything is in there, and it's a really good game. So if you want to head on over to caffeination.com, I have a fun little review up there for you, and you can actually watch the trailer. The trailer, like the game, is a little bit not safe for work, but it has one of my absolute favorite songs by John Lee Hooker in there, Boom Boom. So if you ever remember the old Blues Brothers movie, the original one, where you had the guy sitting out in the middle of nowhere, you might not have known who he was, and he goes, boom, 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 boom. That's the song. So there it goes. It works fantastic with the game, so all right. Next little thing that we got for you here is Up a Creek. Now, I've talked a little bit about this before, but I need a fidget, and a fidget needs to be something that's silent. It needs to be something that, you know, occupies my hands while I'm doing other things. So if I'm thinking through a problem, if I'm really working on writing an email out to where I don't sound like I'm angry, but people still know that I mean business, anything where you kind of need to take a step back and think about it. Think about a Few Good Men, where Kathy has his thinking bat. I have a couple weird quirks about me. You know, if I'm writing a paper or something like that, I have a specific hoodie that I wear. Now, I'm not going to show pictures of it because it's pretty ratty at this point, but you know, I have certain things and certain things that I have to do. One of those things is if I'm working on a problem, or if I'm spending time in work or elsewhere where there's a lag, like, you know, you're installing software or something, I need something to occupy my hands, or else I start to get fidgety, and then just, you know, it's just bad. So what I've taken up doing in work is actually whittling. In the architecture department, we have tons of X-Acto knives laying around everywhere. I use them all the time. So I have a block of wood, and I actually carved my own little canoe out. A little canoe and little paddle. Basically because the problem with being an island tech, which is what I am, is that everybody around you, almost everybody you meet, relies on you for support. And sometimes that can get a little frustrating, and you're not going to make everybody happy all the time. I used to have a fish tank in the office, and it was pretty cool, because, you know, if somebody came in, they, you know, started yelling at you, there was a problem with one of the pieces of software, rather than just absorb it and, you know, turn around and just smile and kind of dumbly, it's like you look over at the fishy. Does the fishy care? No. He was busy being a fish. It was my job to busy make sure that everything in the department rang correctly. If they had a comment, or, you know, it was probably a very valid one. They might not have voiced it in a very pleasant way, but I had to find a way to make it right. So now I've been whittling, and now you can never say that I'm an up a creek without a paddle again, because I have my own tiny little canoe. And I also have another little article that I wrote over at travelersmug.com, which basically says, you know, as somebody who is a technologist who literally lives his life from screen to screen some days, I feel the need to kind of unplug every once in a while, and I know everybody else has the same need. Now, you know, there's snipers in the military who can only maintain peak awareness for so long. Some military guides have it down to like 30 minutes. I'm not entirely sure. I've never been a sniper. I am a pretty good shot, but, you know, that's only with a .22 rifle. And that's also neither here nor there. Can you tell this is kind of a stream of consciousness, a little bit of an episode going here? But one of the best things about whittling is it really slows down your actions. You go too fast, you're cutting yourself. You go too slow, you're not actually making anything. And you have to take off tiny little pieces at a shot. So between whittling and really needing to get out and go fishing, I think I'm finding a happy medium with unplugging. So hopefully you find your way. I was just curious if anybody else out there had a good way that they unplug and just walk away from everything to find out what else they do. So it's, you know, just sitting there and just wanted to see what other people do. So all right, moving on to the real news. There is an official Etch-a-Sketch iPad case. I don't know how many jokes that I can't make about this. Unfortunately, the knobs don't do anything. If the knobs did something, this would be an unbelievable little thing. I've been threatening to give people in work Etch-a-Sketches every time they break a laptop. Now I can actually, you know, for $39, give them an empty Etch-a-Sketch case and tell them to buy their own iPad. Not saying that the iPad would probably be any more durable than a laptop, probably a little bit less so, but it might look a little bit prettier, especially look a little bit funnier inside an Etch-a-Sketch case. So if I ever do get an iPad, I'm probably going to buy the Etch-a-Sketch case just because, just for those little funny moments that exist. Alright, taking another little step down retro lane, Nintendo Entertainment System bedsheets will have you counting 8-bit sheep. Or if you want to harken back to the fun glory days of some of those old video games, you can be dreaming like Little Nemo the Dream Master. And now, funny, none of those references ring a bell. You're either too young or too old to understand them. That's perfectly fine. This is a really cool little set. They actually have shams for the pillows or pillowcases that look like the controllers. The entire gray bedspread with the black stripe down the middle, or down the offset to the one side, actually looks entirely like the Nintendo Entertainment System. Then they have the start and reset buttons on the power and reset buttons on the skirt at the bottom of the bed. I think it's a fantastic overall. It just works entirely well. There doesn't seem to be any lines or anything for where the cartridges would go in, but hey, it's a bedspread, and you get to sleep there. My wife would never let me buy this. But you know what? I think it's pretty cool, and just wanted to send it out to the group. The other funny thing about this is, if you remember a little while ago, I did some discussion about lab propaganda posters, where I put images of a Goomba and Mario and the Wolfman, Lon Chaney Jr. actually is the Wolfman, and Godzilla, and I put all these posters up. I didn't realize that my apparent age range for people who would realize what Mario was and what a Goomba was. Not very many people realize what the Goomba is, and that's just basically a little mushroom enemy that exists in almost any Mario Brothers game. Nobody knows who the Wolfman is, and I'm actually a little bit disappointed in this. Even the older professors are looking at it and says, oh, well, it's some kind of, like, werewolf. I was like, did you ever hear of Lon Chaney Jr.? I got two people who said yes. And beyond that, I'm a little bit disappointed overall the cinephile demographic within the department. Somebody actually said a dinosaur instead of Godzilla. Come on, dinosaurs that are like that don't have, you know, laser beams and spikes going down their back. And the thing that stunned me more than anything is a freshman came into my office and said, why is there a guy in overalls on the poster? And I looked at her, and then I looked at the poster, and it was Mario. Now, he's not the old Mario. I didn't go with the 8-bit Mario or anything like this. This is Mario from, like, a current video game. He's three-dimensional. He's wearing a big M on his hat. And I said, have you ever heard of Mario? And she goes, well, no, why? Now, this is a American student from a major metropolitan area, and I just felt stunned. Either I'm too old to be working in the area, or she never got out much. So I was a little bit stunned, just wanted to pass it along to the group. Now going on to more references other people might not understand, but the rest of us geeks do. R2-D2 does Nintendo, Sega, Atari, Sony, and Microsoft too. That is over at Fort90.com. They actually have a R2-D2 that is built entirely out of, I think it's built entirely out of 16 different video game systems. There's Panzer Dragoon, Silver Ray Gun. No, those are video games themselves, I'm sorry. They have Nintendo Entertainment, they have Super Nintendo, they have the GameCube, they have PS3, they have a projector, N64, Super Nintendo, Atari 7800. Everything is just fantastic when you're looking at this, and all the different controls go down the arms of R2-D2. And the best part is, up at the top where R2 actually has his own little projector, they put their own projector so that you can play any of these games. There's a little selector going down the side, and the fine folks over at Fort90.com actually have a build guide for how they went about doing it. So if you have a lot of free time on your hand, and you happen to love video games nearly as much as these people do, you should head on over there and check that out. Alright, moving right along to the last little thing we got for you in the GeekCruft section here at the Gavinacia Podcast. This would be a USB desktop aquarium with alarm clock and pen holder. This is a crazy little gadget. Now, I'm looking at it. This is a 1.5 quart desktop aquarium. So they show you it with two goldfish in there. I'm going to tell you that you need at least 1 gallon per inch of fish. So this is an incredibly small aquarium to have two goldfish in. You could probably have one betta in there and it would work out entirely fine. But yeah, not this. But the best part about this is it has like all kinds of other digital clocks on the side. It has an organizer, and it even has a little armature light that goes over it. And the funny thing is there's actually sort of a filtration system where it has a tiny little spigot sticking out over where the aquarium is that actually fills up the aquarium and gives you a little bit of other things. The funny thing is it's only $39 or $40, so if you're looking for a fun little kitschy item to keep on your work desk and you have a pet store nearby where you can go snag a betta fish, this is probably the perfect thing to have for anybody's desk. All right, moving right along to the meat and the potatoes here. Now, we didn't have too much tech stuff here today, and I hope I'm still talking at somewhat of a reasonable level here. We have a ton of stuff in the food and caffeinated bits section. First up, we had this sent in by at least 7 different people. So off the top of my head, I can thank my mother, I can thank Norbert, and I can thank Michael Allen Smith and Carl from over at the Westside Gadget Guy podcast for all sending me in this. This is Caffeine Insanity Hardly. Now, everybody sent me a different link, but here's the long and the short of it. A Kentucky man is invoking a temporary insanity plea in the case of him strangling his wife. He's saying that caffeine intoxication actually is the cause of his temporary insanity. Now, they go on to talk about the different things of what happens during caffeine intoxication, and that, yes, you can have rambling flows of thought and speech. Of course, they probably listen to this podcast just to figure out exactly what that is. You can have heart problems, muscle twitching, gastrointestinal disturbances, insomnia. Just think about that. If you have too much coffee, you might not be able to sleep. Agitation, and there's a whole list of other things. But they're saying that the hallucinations and trying to kill your wife is incredibly, if entirely, unlikely to actually be possible just due to caffeine alone. And they're saying caffeine intoxication occurs anywhere above 250 milligrams of coffee. So I've been caffeine intoxicated for probably the past couple years because, you know, that's basically 3 cups of coffee within a short period of time. And I usually drink about a pot of coffee a day anymore. I think it's kind of ridiculous. I kind of hate when little kitschy words get thrown like this into the public eye. The funny thing is everybody's basically calling this guy on his bluff, saying it's ridiculous. They have studies from all over the world saying if he already had, the only way that this could even possibly get any kind of traction is if he had another kind of defense, or if he had another kind of medical ailment, like he was bipolar, if he was schizophrenic, if he had any one of these other crazy, manic, depressive, possibly, crazy you're not supposed to use with all those terms. But, you know, if he was crazy, let's just put it out there and say it like it is. If he was crazy previously and he had enough caffeine, it might have made him crazier. So beyond that, hardly but not likely. So the next little thing we have from over at Quirky.com. Now, if you've never heard of Quirky.com, I've actually just started hearing of it myself, and I really think this is kind of awesome. Basically, you give these people ideas. You say, hey, you know what? This is something I'd like to do. You actually can get paid for your ideas. Then they work with industrial designers. They work with different people who actually design the products and to see if they can actually come up with the quirky products that you suggested. Now, there's an awesome video that they have over there. This is something called a boil buoy. Now, this basically sits in your pot. Whatever pot of water that you want to boil, it sits in there. And as soon as the turbulence in the water starts moving around and shaking the object, then a chime inside the boil buoy rings. I think this is fantastic. This is an unbelievably awesome product, and it allows you to do other things. Of course, you know, if you're cooking, you should probably be right there to check on everything, but beyond that, there's a lot of really cool industrial design that went into this, and it seriously does look like a buoy. And they actually list who were the top influencers, from anywhere from $1.05 to 12 cents worth of influence. I'm pretty sure for every unit sold. The manufacturer suggested retail price for pre-sale is $10. That's $9.99. They've currently sold 360 out of 1,492 when Columbus sailed the ocean blue. So you can head on over to quirky.com and check that out. And I'm also going to be looking around to see what else they got, because that just seems like a nifty idea. Maybe it's time I start taking some of my opinions from the things that we talk about here in the Cafe Nation, start sending them over there. Maybe I'll get a buck or two. All right, next up here we have the Winometer glass. For those of you who never know when enough is enough, the idea behind this is basically takes the ABV, the specific gravity, or the approximate alcohol by volume, which is ABV, of whatever wine you're drinking. This is specific to wine, and it gives you the scale of how many glasses you've had and how many other things, how many you can afford to have. It's kind of hard to describe, but basically for 12% alcohol versus 14% alcohol, they're saying, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 all the way up to the top for 14%. Then they have a slightly different scale, so you can actually measure exactly how much you've had, and you can measure along the different percentages of alcohol. So some wines, anything over, I think, 13% ABV is usually a dessert wine, usually a vino dolce, and anything under, I think, 11% is usually a very dry wine. I could be entirely wrong with the second thing, but I'm pretty sure the vino dolce is correct. We had a wine that was 16% alcohol, and it was unbelievably sweet, and it was just so beautiful. The only problem was it was more than a little bit expensive, but, you know, anything for my lovely wife. All right. Moving right along, I love LaughingSquid.com. They have some really fantastic stuff over there, and they just shared an infographic called Everything You Wanted to Know About Nachos, But Were Afraid to Ask. Well, I've never really been afraid to ask anything about nachos except where they were, and this is nacho cheese. That's the only cheese that's not yours, but this gives you the toppings by nacho style. The traditional is just cheese and jalapenos. Then we have the modern, which is cheese, guacamole, salsa, sour cream, jalapenos, lettuce, and all other manners of things. Historical moments in nachos, from anything from 1943, the Nacho Aña invents nachos for the U.S. soldiers' wives in Perdidas Negras, Mexico, up to 2008, where Nachos New York is created, and 2 years later, this is the infographic. They have Venn diagrams at the bottom, Mexican food and fun intersecting. They only intersect at nachos, apparently, and nachos and awesome two circles intersect with a slight deviation where soggy nachos are not awesome, and then the number of napkins versus the delicious units of flavor, overall relationship of deliciousness versus napkins. So you can see all the fun over there at Laughing Squid. They also happen to share an awesome taxonomy of beer names. Now, this is beautiful. I need to find a way to print this because this is unbelievable. Somewhere else on the site, they had a taxonomy of rap names. So if you're into hip hop and rap culture, you should head on over there. Just search for taxonomy of rap names. But beer is pretty interesting and pretty fantastic as they go here. You can actually click on some of these things and they tell you from... just going from a beer, if you have an ale, the different ales that are available and different derivations based on that. just some of the really cool stuff that they have. They have pale ale, they have winter lager, they have lagers, they have American lager, and you can just go and find all the different varieties and all the different things that actually match up onto it. So I thought that was pretty good and wanted to share with the group. Next little thing that we got for you here is the 5 most expensive beers in the world from over at randomgoodstuff.com. Now, I'm probably going to agree with the writers over there. I gotta tell you, I don't think I'd spend too much money for a single bottle of beer, because beer is meant to be kind of consumed in multiples. At least that's how I always viewed it. Jacobson Vintage Number 3, which is $350 by Carlsberg. Then, of course, you can go down to the Crown Ambassador for $91 from Foster's, which is apparently Australian for expensive. And then you have the Tutankhamun Brew for the $75, and I'm going to tell you what that probably is. There was a beer at one point in time called Ninkasi. Ninkasi was actually based off an ancient Egyptian recipe. The way that archaeologists got said ancient Egyptian recipe was actually digging up a bowl that still had residue of a beer or a honeymead-like substance next to a temple. The archaeologists, being the nerds they were and the big drinkers they were, then decided to do spectrographic analysis on said bowl and come up with a recipe for something that would probably chemically match that. That became Ninkasi beer, which is probably eventually derived down into Tutankhamun beer. So it's probably a recipe for beer that's somehow linked back to Egypt and possibly even those same people. The funny thing that I think here is that the Jacobson Vintage is $350. The second most expensive beer drops a whopping $200 down to $91 for a Foster's. So, and then of course they have Utopias for $65 for Sam Adams. And then finally the Ville Bone Securus for $61 at a relative bargain overall. And everybody say hi to Chili the Cat. All right, it's just a madhouse around here. All right, we have a couple little things, then we're going to head you out on your way. Nespresso Civitz Espresso Maker with Arachino Plus Automatic Milk Frother. That is one long thing to say. It's a kind of interesting device. Now, what I'm looking at is a regular espresso machine. Now, if you say espresso in my presence, I reserve the right to hit you with a tamping wand. But, you know, that's beside the point. So when I'm looking at this thing, it looks like a standard small form factor espresso machine, except for the fact that it takes care of one of the most irritating things that I have found in my brief barista career. I am not good at frothing milk. It's either a direct reflection of the fact that the machine I have, one of the notorious problems with it is that the milk frothing wand is incredibly short, or it's because I just don't have the skill required to do it, and I'm perfectly fine with that. This unit, however, froths the milk for you and adds it to whatever beverage you want, so I think that's kind of interesting, but it does take a little of the skill required to create a really truly good cappuccino and latte and everything out of your hands, which isn't necessarily the best thing when you want to go for a high-quality coffee. All right, moving on over to CoffeeHero.com. There's a fantastic article, 6 Reasons Why Mass Hasn't Been to Your Coffee Shop. And I'm going to go down them real quick. Coffee doesn't get top billing. You're selling food or other stuff, and the coffee just happens to be on the menu. You're not disclosing your roaster. Where'd you get those beans? Why are you hiding it? Or, you know, the next one, your roaster sucks. The fourth is a stupid name. The fifth is trying to sell franchises at the cafe. The sixth is give me time, let me know, or invite me. So if he doesn't hear about it, then, you know, that's probably why he hasn't been there. I love this list, and I think this really should probably go up there for any kind of review as to why, ask why people have never been to XYZ when you're a reviewer. So if your entire primary thing is that you review iPods and iPod apps and somebody says, why haven't you reviewed my app? Well, either the app doesn't get top billing in what you're trying to do, you're not disclosing the developer or who you worked with, your developer is really horrible, you have a stupid name for the app and it turns me off entirely, or you're trying to sell other copies of the app. You know, I mean, you could basically take this list and copy and paste it onto any other fan-sponsored review process, and I really kind of thank Mass for actually working that out, because I think that's a fantastic list. And the last little thing that we got for you here before my body attempts to self-destruct is a fantastic cake from over at nerdapproved.com. This is probably one of the most beautiful instances of a decorative cake that I've ever seen. This looks like a lobster that's curled around. It actually looks incredibly and frighteningly realistic in a slightly cartoony way. Usually when I'm looking at something that's created out of cake, even on, like, you know, the cake challenges and stuff like that, you can tell it's a cake. It looks like a cake. This looks like somebody created like a wax model or a highly detailed like a ceramic model or something and actually molded it out from the suckers to all the different airbrush work that was actually done. This is unbelievably gorgeous. So if you think cakes are pretty cool and awesome, you might want to head on over there and check that out. That about wraps it up here today. It's kind of an all over the map episode. Hopefully everybody took it all right, and hopefully I can manage to edit out all the coughs, hacks, wheezes, and everything else. So this episode is probably going to come out sometime around Christmas. Just kidding. All right. Thank you ever so much for listening to this. If you're looking for this website or this, the home where these episodes happen to live, it's over at www.caffination.com. If you are looking for a wonderful place to send comments, feedback, suggestion, or hate mail, please feel free to do so at caffination@gmail.com. You can dial our listener line at 214-240-1319. It's actually a free call, people, if you have Gmail. And we have a Facebook fan page as well, a whole ton of other stuff. So highly suggest you head on over to the website and just check out some of the fun stuff that we got going. All right. Thank you ever so much for listening, and stay caffeinated, people.